guys. Happy New Year to everyone. I am so excited to be doing this episode where we're going to talk about financial goal mapping for 2024. It's the beginning of a brand new year. Lots of possibilities, fresh starts, lots of resolutions, right? It's the perfect time to reset old patterns and build new ones. It's what I'm doing. I'm sure all of you are doing this. And if you have a goal for 2024, if this is the year you want to take your finances to the next level, if this is the year you want to start generating really meaningful passive income and really taking those intentional steps towards financial freedom, I know how that feels. And I'm so excited that you're motivated to do that, but it can also feel overwhelming. So what I want to do today is, if you're thinking about taking your finances to the next level, I want us to do this with three steps, right? So let's get started. Welcome to Generational Wealth MD's podcast on financial freedom through investing in real estate. My name is Param Baladandapani. I'm a mom, radiologist, real estate investor, and mentor to others looking to start or scale their real estate portfolios. Thank you for being here today. The goal of this podcast is to provide you with inspiration, strategies, and insight so that you can stop trading your time for money and live life on your terms. If you love the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If you're thinking about taking your finances to the next level, I want us to do this with three steps, right? First, we're going to take a macroscopic view and we're going to talk about the one shift, right? It's like The One Thing by Gary Keller. You have to have one thing that you're focusing on. And so we're going to start off by talking about the most impactful thing that you can do for your passive income in 2024. Then we're going to go ahead and build your roadmap. And I've always said this, personal finances is personal. One size does not fit all. And so I'm going to help you build a custom roadmap for yourself, right? These are the steps you need to think about and then write down what makes sense for you. So we'll build a personalized roadmap for you for 2024. And then it's always about breaking it down into the next little step. Finally, we're going to go and talk about the single next best step that you can take before the end of this month that is really going to help you, you know, change the trajectory of your investing and your financial journey. So let's get started. Okay. So I'm not sure how many of you read The One Thing by Gary Keller. I've read summaries. I haven't read the actual book, but it's on my list. The one thing, the concept is how there is so much power in simplicity and prioritizing things when you're trying to achieve success. And the essential question that you need to ask yourself is always, what's the one thing I can do? And such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. Right? And so that's a very, very powerful question if you actually think about it. When we talk about financial freedom, what I've noticed is that for physicians, right, most of us, the way we've been trained to think about investing in financial freedom and passive income is, you know, working more and saving more is the way to really accelerate to financial freedom, right? And I've always said this, I've maintained this. If you've heard me say this before, you know, you understand the concept. If that's where your focus is, I honestly believe you're focusing on the wrong things, right? Working more and saving more is the hardest way to get to financial freedom. And we want to be working smarter, not harder. And the biggest 90%, right, of impact in terms of what your portfolio return is, in terms of what your passive income is, 90% of the impact comes from asset allocation. There are studies to show this. I'm going to run through a scenario to show you how impactful this can be. And that is the one thing that you should be focusing on in 2024 if you're really trying to take your financing to the next level. Now, ultra high net worth investors, if you look at their portfolio, 50% of their assets are in alternative assets, which is real estate, private equity, right? They have less than 30% in the stock market. And the rest of us typically, and even this is what my portfolio looked like before I made massive shifts, right? Typically 90% of our assets are in the stock market, right? And that's a very, very different asset allocation. And let's talk about how that really impacts your portfolio, right? So if you had, say, $2,000 that you're putting towards savings every month, and you do this for 20 years, at the end of 20 years, and if you're investing it in the stock market, where best case scenario, and this is giving the stock market the benefit of the doubt, you get a 10% annualized return, right? So if you're investing to get 10% annualized return for over 20 years, and you're putting $2,000 a month into that portfolio, at the end of 20 years, you have $1.3 million. That's it. Now, if you do what is traditionally taught, which is work harder, take on more shifts, work weekends, work the second job, I've seen so many physicians do this, right? Which is nuts. How do you double your savings? If I had to think about doubling my savings, what that would take, the sacrifices that would take, that is crazy. I don't think anyone should be doing it. But if you were to do that and you were to put $4,000 a month into the same investment that grows over 20 years, right? Every month, $4,000 and a 10% annualized rate of return for 20 years. At the end of 20 years, you have 2.7 million, which is double, right? Which makes logical sense. Now, I want you to think of a third scenario where you're doubling your ROI, right? So you don't double your savings. You're putting $2,000 a month into that, you know, you're saving $2,000 a month and you're investing that. But the ROI of this portfolio is 20%, not 10%, right? At 20% over 20 years, at the end of those 20 years, instead of 1.3 million, you are at 4.48 million. So that's almost double of what you would be at if you had just doubled your savings and you were sitting at the same ROI, as opposed to just doubling the ROI that of the investment vehicle that you're investing in, right? So I just want you to think about that and think about how impactful it is. And how that's something that you can easily do with little shifts. And it doesn't require the massive action that would actually need to happen to double your savings. And so that's what I want you to think about when you're looking at a broader picture in terms of what 2024 is going to look like. I really want all of you to focus on asset allocation. And the difference, you know, is not in terms of, okay, a 1.3 million portfolio versus 4.48. That's not the difference. The difference is working 20 years to get to financial freedom. And I'm not talking about retirement, right? And let's just talk about financial freedom where you get to control your income and your time, right? So 20 years to financial freedom versus, you know, cutting that in half or even less. And we talk about strategies all the time, right? With short-term rentals, you can get up to 200% ROI in year one. That's actually one of my free eBooks. If you haven't seen it, just go to the website, generationalwealthmd.com, and you can and see the eBook. I actually have the numbers over there, right? And this is doable, 200% ROI in 6 months, right? But that shift between a 4% safe withdrawal, which is what you have for your stock portfolio, and what you can have when you really start allocating your assets differently and boosting your ROI, is the difference between getting to financial freedom in 20 years or less than 5 years, right? That's what we're focusing on. So if there's one thing you take away from this, that's what I want you to think about, right? The biggest shift you can make in 2024, and that's going to be thinking about your asset allocation. Let's move on to goal setting and specific steps. And I try to break this down into five separate steps that you can use to build your roadmap for 2024 as far as your finances is concerned, okay? And the first step, step one, is going to be, and it almost feels like I'm repeating this over and over again, but this is always step one, right? Where are you now? What is your financial independence number? How much do you need in passive income, right, to maintain the same lifestyle? How much do you need? What's your financial independence number at this time, based on how you're currently investing, how many years to financial freedom, and what is your goal, and what shift are you going to make to get to that goal? That's it. That's step one. The best resource for this, and I've shared this before, is we have a financial independence calculator that you can use. You go to generationalwealthmd.com, resources, and under resources, you have the financial independence calculator. It helps you figure out your financial independence number. It helps you figure out how many years to financial freedom if you're doing what you're doing now. And then you can plug and play different numbers, change your asset allocation, and see how you can get to your goals. But that is step one. Again, that's a macroscopic view, but I want you to start over there. This is the exact same calculator I used in 2019 when I, at that point, based on my stock portfolio, I only had about $2,000 in passive income. Taking that step, that first step, once I made that shift, I was able to, within 12 months, go from 2K to 10K in passive income, okay? So the first step is always going to be this macroscopic step. Okay, where am I now? Where do I want to go? What am I going to shift, okay? So that's step one. Step two, this is where I want you to really, really deep dive into your current asset allocation, okay? Where are you now? What's your goal? So when we think about asset allocation, that is, how is my portfolio divided between stocks, bonds? Bonds also includes everything that's fixed income, right? So money market funds, treasuries, anything over there that's fixed income, CDs, all of that, right? So keep that as one category. So fixed income, stocks, and then real estate, if you have any. The other thing to remember is like cash, right? Cash is often a big part of our portfolios. I remember, and we're very skewed in that. I would say the W-2 earner, the typical W-2 earner, including us as physicians. If you're ready to make 2024 your breakthrough year, I welcome you to join us at the free virtual Physician Freedom Summit in March. The mission of this summit is to help more physicians become financially free and live life and practice medicine on their terms. We have an amazing lineup of more than 12 physician speakers and thought leaders with collective communities of over 100,000 physicians and over $1 billion in assets under management. Some of these speakers are seven and eight figure physician entrepreneurs who are changing the
way medicine is being practiced, and many of them are physicians who achieve financial freedom in their 30s and 40s and are now helping other physicians do the same. And I'm hoping that through this summit, they will inspire and motivate you to grow your passive and passion income so you can practice medicine on your terms. You can register for free today at generationalwealthmd.com/summit. This is going to be epic, and I cannot wait to see all of you there in March.
Typically has a large, huge allocation in cash just sitting around. I am guilty of that. I've done that in the past. Honestly, even today, if I look at my asset allocation, that is the one part that I need to figure out because I like to hold liquid reserves. We're in a different position right now. We do this for our investors, especially for GW Capital. But most of us have a huge part of our portfolio in fixed income and in cash. And so I want you to look at that because that's going to be the biggest drag in terms of your ROI of your portfolio, which essentially affects your years to financial freedom, right? So take a look at that, right? Take a look at that. That's going to be very, very important. See where you are now and then come up with a plan. Okay. I want to have, if you are, you're either at 90% stocks and 10% and everything else, or 60 to 70% in stocks, maybe 20% in fixed income, and then like a large amount of just cash sitting there, which right now interest rates are good. So that's probably part of your fixed income, but you really want to be very intentional about this allocation, right? And like I said, I told you what the ultra high net worth individuals, what their portfolio looks like, right? They have about 50% in alternative assets, which is private equity, real estate, right? And they have 50% in everything else, which is fixed income and securities, stocks. And look at where you are and see where you want to go and think about the actual impact that can have, especially from an asset allocation and return perspective. Eventually affecting your, you know, years to financial freedom. So take a look at where you are now and come up with a plan. Just to get a little more microscopic here, for some of you, this is the time you're going to think about criteria, right? This is the time you're going to think about, okay, in 2024, what am I going to acquire? If this is real estate, it's going to be, okay, what class of property? What's the property price going to be? Am I going to be joint venturing? Am I going to be doing this myself? Which market am I going to pick? Am I going to pick a hybrid market or a cash flow market, right? What are my terms and criteria? This is where you go and start narrowing down your terms and criteria. If you're thinking about, for those of you who aren't really thinking about real estate, I think you should. This is probably the year you want to start out. At least think about investing passively in syndications. And for that, we have a free guide. It's generationalwealthmd.com/guide. It's probably a one-hour read where I try to condense everything that you need to know if you're just venturing into real estate and want to invest passively. Terminology, syndications, even within that, how do you know what makes sense for you? We're all about customizing and personalizing, right? And so that's a very useful guide. Think about that. At least try to get started in terms of asset allocation. Asset allocation is for multiple things. We talked about returns, but asset allocation is also for diversification. That's important from, you know, how resilient is your portfolio? Can it weather market volatility? A lot of these assets don't necessarily go up and down simultaneously, right? So diversification is important, return perspective, and then tax efficiencies, right? That's why you really want to think about diversifying out. But for those of you who aren't thinking about real estate, and if you aren't, you should. I will say state that again, at the expense of being repetitive. But the other important area I want you to look at is your fixed income and cash. What percentage of your asset allocation is towards it? Is that a number you're comfortable with? And typically, I think for ultra high net worth people, they're about 10% in fixed income. I think 10 to 20% is the 20% is probably the max you want to be in terms of fixed income. And so just really be intentional about that, especially if you're in the growing phase, right? Especially if you intend to be working for the next 5 to 10 years, then you need to be intentional about that. And that allocation can shift as you start getting closer to retirement or financial freedom or cutting back to part-time, right? But that's another area I want you to focus on. Cash, you know, do you have lazy money sitting within your 401k accounts, within your brokerage accounts, which you haven't invested? If you haven't, you know, move it around, start investing that. But be very intentional about how much you've allocated to fixed income and cash and have a goal in terms of how you want to allocate that. So I would say that those be, you know, micro things to look at in the bigger picture of asset allocation. But then the third step, okay, now that you've thought about the bigger picture, right, and the third step is going to be optimizing. And whenever you think about optimizing your portfolio, I want to I want you to think about two things. We're going to think about fees and we're going to think about taxes, right? So step three is essentially two little steps. I feel like I'm always saying three steps, five steps, and then there are like mini steps in there. But this is good because some of these things are going to be more impactful for a small section of you, and others are going to help others. And so this is why we do this. In terms of fees, go back to your investments in, you know, in equities, in stocks, and take a look at how much you're paying in terms of fees. Because I mentioned this before, I'm going to say this again. You know, Jack Bogle said this, excessive fees, like going from a 3% fee in a managed fund to 0.05% in an index fund, that can, over time, the impact over a 50-year hold period, that can have an impact of just having, you know, going from a point from a 0.05 expense ratio to 3% assets under management fee can reduce your overall portfolio returns by 67%, right? 67%. That's like less than 3% fee, and that the impact can have can be up to 67% of your returns can be wiped out. So this is not a joke. Just make sure you're going and taking a look at your portfolio and making sure that you aren't paying excessive fees, right? And it's one thing to pay excessive fees for overperformance, which is sometimes the case with certain funds, especially real estate funds. With the stock market, though, oftentimes that less than 4% of managed funds beat S&P 500. And so oftentimes you're overpaying for underperformance. So that's one thing you want to optimize. That's a quick, easy win, right? Second thing is going to be taxes. I want you to go and look at, and oftentimes people don't understand this. I have a lot of friends who do day trading, short-term trading, options. When you're doing all of this, you're not paying taxes, you know, within your brokerage account. So it seems like your returns are higher than they are. You're paying taxes on the back end when you're filing your taxes, right? And that's where it comes out of. So I want you to go into your tax return if you filed it, or at some point, or whenever you are filing your taxes. I want you to actually take a look at how much you're paying in terms of taxes, right? I want you to know how much you're paying in terms of taxes. And the goal when you're optimizing your portfolio is start generating, I want you to think about generating better income. What is better income? Tax-free income. This can be income from, you know, if you are a sole proprietor, if you are a consultant, if you have a business. What happens in businesses is that When you're a W-2 employee, you're getting your income, you're taxed on it, and then you have all your expenses, right? Which is nuts, if you actually think about it. When you have a business or you get 1099 income, you get your income, you take out all your expenses, and then you get taxed on it. So that's a massive difference, right? In terms of how efficient your income is. And that's the kind of income you want to generate. Better income. When you have real estate, because of depreciation, and this is true even for syndications, your income, your distributions are tax-free because of depreciation. Once your property appreciates in value, and you know, in 2021, my portfolio increased in value by $1 million, that you can tap into that tax-free, right? So the income you're generating from businesses, from real estate, even within real estate, if you have short-term rentals, having it on a Schedule E versus a Schedule C, right? Getting income on a Schedule E, you're not paying self-employment taxes. Those are things you need to start thinking about because that can have a huge impact on your overall portfolio performance, your passive income, right? So start thinking about what your taxes are and how you can start investing and making shifts to start generating better income, which is tax-free income, income where you don't have to essentially, if you have a 1099 and you're above a certain number, I believe it's if you're making over, $40,000 to $80,000, it makes sense to have an S-Corp because then you're getting distributions where you're not paying self-employment taxes, right? So a portion of your income comes out of distribution. So multiple different ways where you can start thinking about efficiency in terms of taxes, but this is the time to be thinking about it, right? The beginning of the year is always the best time. Is this the year where you want to buy a short-term rental? You want to acquire a short-term rental because even in 2024, you have 60% bonus depreciation. So you can still, if you're an entrepreneur, you want to own a short-term rental, you can still strategize around that where you can shelter your W-2 or 1099 income from taxes by virtue of depreciation from that if you are materially participating in that short-term rental. So this is the year you want to start thinking about that, right? Do I want to really optimize my taxes and how am I going to do that, right? So fees and taxes are things you think about in terms of optimization. So just to recap quickly, we talked about the first step being financial freedom number and yours to financial freedom, and then what your goal is and coming up with a plan. Second thing is going to be asset allocation. We talked about over there, how what your current asset allocation is, how you're going to pivot, and what you're going to do in terms of, you know, your criteria for acquisitions. Be very clear about that. And then taking a look at your fixed income and cash and seeing if you're heavily weighted over there and that's dragging down your portfolio and how you can, you know, allocate that better. Then we talked about optimization, where we're going to look at how do we generate better income, which is tax-free this year. How are we, you know, being more efficient in terms of fees in our portfolio? Okay, that's for optimization. Now, step 4 and 5 may not seem like they're very tactical, but they are, in my opinion, going to have the biggest impact in building your roadmap and staying on track. Okay, so step 4 is going to be learning to de-risk your portfolio. And I'm forgetting Warren Buffett's quote over here, but it is to the effect that risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. And I think that is the actual quote. But this is the time you also want to really plan about how you're going to educate yourself to lower risk, right? I always said real estate, if you look at Sharpe ratios, real estate is actually significantly lower risk than the stock market. The stock market tends to be more volatile. Real estate is lower risk. But again, I feel like the more you educate yourself, you're really able to then think about highest risk-adjusted returns, right? Because that's how you're lowering your risk profile. And so I want you to come up with a plan in terms of how you're going to educate yourself, what resources you're going to use to educate yourself. For those of you interested in investing in syndications, the guide, generationalwealthmd.com/guide, is a great resource. But for all of you on here, anyone thinking about taking finances to the next level, I'm super, super excited to talk about the Physician Freedom Summit, which we're hosting again in 2024 in March. You can sign up for free. It's free. It's virtual. This is the way we get to impact more physicians, right? We have thousands of physicians attending the summit every time we host it. Generationalwealthmd.com/summit. I want you to go and sign up. The summit is always a place where we bring together physicians who are 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, right? Who are changing the way medicine is being practiced. Experts in burnout intervention, experts in financial freedom, people who became financial free in their 30s and 40s, right? Who will talk about strategies, not just for real estate, for the stock market, right? How do you streamline your portfolio? What are the strategies that they used, right? We talk about alternative assets, private equity, passive real estate, active real estate investing, short-term rentals, long-term rentals, investing in apartment complexes, right? The speakers at the summit collectively have over $1 billion in assets under management. That is how much knowledge is coming to the summit. So I want you to tap into it. This is the best way to really de-risk your investing, right? Staying in the right space, educating yourself. So education is going to be a big part. And so I really want you to start thinking about, okay, what am I going to do to take my investing to the next level? I think the summit is a great place to really stay in the same space as these amazing entrepreneurs and, you know, trendsetters who have taken their investing to the next level. So definitely put that on your list of things to do. And then step 5 is community. I always say this, you are the, what is the saying? You are the average of the 5 people you surround yourself with. I want you to now write down the 5 people you spend the most time with every single day and see if they are, you know, W-2 earners, if they're investors or entrepreneurs, right? And if you want to change things around for yourself, then the best way to do it is to surround yourself with the community of people who are doing the same thing. That is going to be super, super valuable, A, to educate yourself, but more importantly for accountability, right? And to help you to have the right mindset, okay? So community is going to be great. Again, at the summit, we are expecting 5,000 physicians. That would be your tribe, people who are also looking to do the same thing in 2024. So definitely sign up for the summit. And so finally, we talked about the one thing that is going to have the most impact for you in 2024. We talked about 5 steps for to build your own roadmap to financial, you know, taking your finances to the next level in 2024. And finally, I want you to think about the next step, the single next step, right? Like a lot of these steps that I talked about are things you can do right away. Nothing is going to take you a lot of time, but I want you to think about one single step, right? And this is going to be really important. You can time block for this, but give yourself a deadline. This is something I want you to do before the end of the month, right? That is really going to have a massive impact for you. So that could be something as simple as I'm going to go and take a look at the fees that I'm paying in my stock portfolio, and I am going to make sure that I'm optimizing it. For some of you, it may be I'm going to go and work on the financial independence worksheet and come up with, you know, where I am right now, what my goal is, and what I'm going to do. Right. So it could be something as simple as that. For some of you, it may be as easy as saying, I'm going to go to generationalwealthmd.com/summit and sign up for the summit. And that's the one step I'm going to take. I'm going to attend the sessions. I am going to learn and educate myself. And that's going to be your one step. Then that's going to help you with creating, with all of this, right? Creating better income, really learning to optimize on taxes, learning how short-term rentals can give you the 200% ROI year one, right? If that's not your cup of tea, what can I do with syndications? How do I learn to, I'm actually going to be talking about vetting syndication deals and going over your due diligence checklist, really simplifying that and giving you a roadmap over there. A lot of you are thinking about the current market, and it can be scary with the interest rate environment, with just talks of recession. But for most of us, I didn't tap into the 08 slump and then the subsequent boom. I didn't tap into it. I was training till 2010, and you know, I don't think I was even focusing on these things. But for many of us, the next few years are going to be when we really make our fortunes. And they say fortunes are made in downturns. Downturns are scary times. Those are times where people really think about staying on the sidelines. That's, you know, that's what most people think about. And that are I'm going to talk about that next in a separate episode, but they're actually tremendous opportunities for wealth building, financial freedom, and passive income. And I don't want you to be sitting on the sidelines. And so I think this is, you know, the Physician Freedom Summit, we will be hosting it annually, but this is probably going to be one of the most impactful ones for many of us, because the next few years, if you really take action, if you really know what you're doing, you take action, the impact it can have on your portfolio, on returns, is just tremendous. And so I am super excited, and I hope that this was really helpful for you. I'd love to hear from you in terms of what your next step is, or what, which of these things that we touched upon you think would have the most impact on you. I'd love to hear from you, but I hope this was helpful. Take it. I love January. I love goal setting. There is so much impact in actually writing this down, putting pen to paper. So do it. And I am so excited for what 2024 holds for you. Take care.
I hope you've been inspired by this episode and are ready to take action. Your feedback means the world to me. If you found value in what you heard, I would greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate the podcast, leave a review, and follow the podcast. And if you really like the episode, share it with a friend. Your ratings, reviews, follows, and shares not only motivate me, but they also help others discover the show and join the community. So please share your thoughts, let me know what you liked, and even what you'd like to hear more of in the future. I can't wait to hear from you. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes, and until next time, take care.